ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to honor God for his servant, Dr. Billy Graham, William Franklin Billy Graham, Sr., said, a child who is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone, and that's a fact. And it is a shame today we have Christian parents who let their children disrespect them. And quite frankly, I don't care whether it's a stepchild, or step-parent, whatever that is. If that parent is feeding you and providing you a place to stay, I don't care what the situation is now. I don't have that kind of situation in my home, so I don't know all there is to know about that, but I know back in the day it didn't make no difference who your daddy was or your mother was. You respected all adults. Amen, somebody. And there's nothing wrong with saying yes, sir, and no, sir. A grown white man, I held the door for him, didn't have to do it. He was very capable of getting the door for himself. I was going out the door, the man was coming in, I held the door for him, he said, thank you, sir. And I said, you're welcome, sir. There's nothing wrong with showing respect. Amen, somebody. And if a grown man can say yes, sir, to another grown man, and they don't even know each other, I know all of my children better say yes, sir, and no, sir. I don't care how old you get. And have the right attitude about it. And that's old-fashioned. But we need to go back to some old-fashioned ways. So I like what Dr. Billy Graham said. And may God help the child and help the parent, who the parent is feeding that child and taking care of that child and providing a place to stay for that child. His other parent is gone, long gone, for whatever reason. And they rap back and say, as soon as you say something to them, you're not my daddy. What? You're not my mommy. Those things were not said even when I was growing up. One of my younger siblings one day ran back and called my mother Shirley. I don't call my mother. I'm the oldest child. I never call my mother Shirley. Or my dad, Danny. Are you kidding me? My father may not have done much. He may have looked at me crazy, but my mother would have sent your head to outer space with a backhand, a withering backhand, my dear friend. Make no mistake about it. She would chase you down and start talking in another language. What did you say? While she's popping you upside your head and trying to knock some sense in your head. I guarantee you'll never say that again. Oh yes, Shirley Louise White, my mother, she didn't play. But for some reason, it looked like my little sister was going to get away from it. I get away with it, and I rebuked it myself. I said, you people have lost your righteous mind. Be that as it may, beloved, we need to go back to the old landmarks, for our families are being destroyed with foolishness. Join me in reciting and reading the Apostles' Creed. The New Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians 5:32, as we roll on dealing with verse by verse what I call the family verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, from a certain point on, I think verse 22 on, deals with the family. Even Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10, we included that passage because the devil's aim is to destroy the family. So the family needs to put on the whole armor of God, individually and collectively. Verse 32 reads, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Dr. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible, "The mystery of the marriage of Christ and the church is also true in regard to the pattern of marriage in general. It shows us that Jesus wants more than just an external surface relationship. It shows us that Jesus wants us to be one with him. And it shows us that there is a sense in which Jesus is incomplete without us. Adam was, in a sense, incomplete without Eve. We can make that Eve makes up the fullness of Adam and makes up that which was lacking in him. And that is, in a way, what the church does for Christ. Ephesians, now this is Guzik now, this is not me talking, I'm reading what Guzik wrote. Ephesians 1:23 says, "The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." It also shows the common connection of unity and oneness in the two relationships. Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, "Unity is the essence of the marriage bond. We are one with Christ, who made himself one with his people. And nothing can break that unity like sin, particularly lying, dishonesty, and deceit, not being transparent." Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, heal every Christian marriage. By every Christian marriage and everybody in the family obeying your simple, straightforward, holy word. The healing is in the obedience to your holy word. And forgive us of our sins of breaking your holy word and disobeying your holy word. And help us all as Christian family members to get back to the old landmarks and to do what your holy word tells us to do, whether we feel like it or not, whether we feel like it or not, does not matter, Lord. We thank you for showing us that, that our will also should submit to you and your holy word. And we ought to do the right thing because it's right to do. And Lord, you have proven that you will bless us for being obedient. For you said in your word, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage reading for today is Psalm 116, 1 through 5. The Bible says, "I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name Daniel. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Amen, somebody. Isn't it interesting, as some of us get older in the faith, we get prouder, and we don't speak of the mercy of God as we used to. It's a sort of arrogance and pride that develops. But those who truly grow in the Lord, they understand God's mercy and love and grace even more, and appreciate it even more. Regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry said, "We have many reasons for loving the Lord, but are most affected by his loving kindness when relieved out of deep distress." When a poor sinner is awakened to a sense of his state and fears that he must soon sink under the just wrath of God, then he finds trouble and sorrow. But let all such call upon the Lord to deliver their souls, and they will find him gracious and true to his promise. It is of his mercies that we are not consumed. Can somebody say amen? Let those who labor and are heavy laden come to him, that they may find rest to their souls. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Help us to obey it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to love it and to cherish it and to share it with others in the power of your Holy Spirit. For Lord, in us we have nothing, as you know. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying over the estates. You know what the estates are, so let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for the church, and help us to stop praying for revival, and help us to be about revival. Help us to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways. We pray for the government. We pray for President Trump and his family, And we pray, Daniel, for 1 Timothy chapter 2. We pray based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump and his administration. We thank you for the good that they have done. We are praying for that which is concerning, and we pray that you will help them to get things straightened out so everything is above board and what it should be. We pray for Hope Hicks, who at her age took on big tasks, and now she did the best she could. So now she is no longer in that high position. And we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct her and help her to find her footing. We also pray for Vice President Mike Pence. Give these folks wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight. We pray for First Lady Melania Trump. We pray for Second Lady Karen Pence. We pray for all White House staff, including, and we pray that you give these people wisdom, leadership, guidance, and direction. Chief of Staff to the White House Counsel, Ann M. Donaldson. All leaders of federal agencies, including Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, all state governors, including Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam. And, Lord, we pray for all city mayors, including Buffalo, New York Mayor Byron Brown. We pray for all members of Congress, including California Representative Tony Cardenas. All law enforcement officials, including Plano, Texas Police Chief Gregory W. Russian. We pray for all military leaders, including General Laurie J. Robinson, Commander of U.S. Northern Command and North American Aerospace Defense Command. We pray for James Mad Dog Mattis. We pray for the leaders of nations around the world. We pray for Guinea's President Alpha Conde and Prime Minister Daniel Mamadou Yula. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, a modern-day David Daniel. And we pray that you would continue to lead him and guide him and direct him and keep him in office as long as possible. Lord, we pray for we pray for now the people and the citizens across this country and around the globe. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, blessings upon them. Lord, revive those who are saved, save those who are lost. Danae, we pray that your Holy Spirit would not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. And Lord, we pray for the media, the traditional media as well as the new media. We pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, help them to tell the truth to the people. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, and not to be the story. We pray also for current events. Lord, not to inform you, but to be obedient to you. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 24 people killed in a strange storm across Europe. We pray for the comfort of the families of 12 people killed in a train crash in Egypt. We pray for the families and the comfort thereof of the 5 people killed in the flooding and tornadoes in the central U.S. and for the recovery of those who have lost homes and belongings. And some are suffering from floods even today. And Holy Father God, we pray for many prayer requests that have come in. We pray for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. In the hundreds, and we thank you for the privilege of praying for them and for entrusting us with people's prayers. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, blessings upon them. Hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray for a few by name. We pray for Inez. Heal her from grief over the death of her oldest son. Deliver Dwayne from drugs. Bless him with a job and a worthwhile life, she prays. We pray for Elle. Strengthen her spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Give her more faith in you and help her to feel your presence and love in her life. Deliver her, Daniel, from all spiritual attacks. Deliver her from people who are harassing her and using her. Bring her family back together. We pray for her agenda. Please heal him of depression and fear. Bless him and his brother. Deliver his brother from negative thinking. And Lord, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior as well. We pray for Mel. We pray for Mahesh. We pray for George. Help these to grow in the faith. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Victoria, we pray for Arinimum, and we pray for Maureen. Lord, help these to stand strong in the faith and never go back into the wilderness of being backslidden. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Continuing to honor God for his servant, his faithful servant, Billy Graham. Some believe the greatest evangelist in the history of the world since the Apostle Paul. In our devotional reading, the title is You Are Not Alone by Dr. Billy Graham. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, Daniel, nor forsake thee. As many of you know, Dr. Billy Graham dealt quite a bit with the subject of loneliness. He really struck a chord. God used him to do that. He said, loneliness is no respecter of persons. It invades the palace as well as the hut. Many turn to drink because of loneliness. Others lose their sanity because of loneliness. Many commit suicide because of the despair of loneliness. However, thousands have found Christ to be the answer for their loneliness. Being a good evangelist, he always takes issues like loneliness and points people to Jesus Christ. The pain of loneliness can be solved through knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what evangelists do. He goes on to say the Hebrew children were not alone when they were hurled into the fiery furnace of persecution. There was one with them like unto the Son of God. Moses wasn't alone in the Midian desert. God came to comfort him. When God came to comfort him and call him to a wider ministry, Elijah wasn't alone at the cave when God came near and spoke with the still small voice. Paul and Silas were not alone in the Philippian jail when God came down and gave them a song at midnight. Whoever you are not alone. You are not alone. Whoever you are not alone. Christ can give you comfort and companionship. And if you know him as your Savior, he is always with you. And the Bible says he will never forsake you. Amen, somebody. What a powerful insight that I'm sure led many to Christ. Just imagine coming up with that theme, loneliness, and how that Jesus Christ could fill that void. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, if you are lonely, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. I didn't say lonely Jesus, the lowly Jesus, the humble Jesus. No, not one. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow me to show you how you can do that today, so that your soul can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven. But also, as Dr. Billy Graham said, have that void filled where you don't feel lonely anymore. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin, an eternal punishment. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin and go to the grave. Our body goes to the grave, our soul, if we have never trusted Christ as Savior, goes to hell. Jesus Christ, in fact, was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, as was his servant, Billy Graham. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend of mine, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you, Daniel Ezekiel. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer. Please repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done evil and wrong in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. And as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer in honor of God for his servant Billy Graham. We will continue to sing the hymn that he played. He had someone to sing, and the music played as he was giving the invitation, just as I am.